Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now, guy had a tremendous NFL career, spent the majority of it with the Green Bay Packers, had a great college career too with the Buckeyes. Now he is a talk show host on Sirius NFL and Sirius XM Fight Nation, host of the Hawkcast, and that is AJ Hawk. AJ, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
AJ, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys. What's up?
Appreciate it. First thing I got to ask you, I'm a big Jet fan, and I want Mike McCarthy coaching my team. You played for McCarthy, I think, for at least a couple years. Well, give me your overall assessment on what you think of Mike McCarthy as a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, I love Mike McCarthy. He his first year as a head coach was my rookie year, so I was there 9 years with McCarthy. And I think, honestly, I know he interviewed with the Jets, or he is, or I don't know where they're at in the process exactly, but I think he'd be great for the Jets. I think he'd be great with the New York media. I think McCarthy is a no-nonsense guy that doesn't like to sweep things under the rug. He likes to be direct. He likes to put things out there. And I think I honestly think it'd be a great fit as well with the team. Sam Darnold, young QB, help him develop. I think it would, it really does make a lot of sense that the Jets do go that way.
You know, it's funny. I think one of the knocks I always hear about Mike McCarthy is, well, he had Aaron Rodgers. And I look at it and say, well, yeah, he helped develop Aaron Rodgers, because when your rookie year and his first year as coach, Brett Favre was still the guy. He was still the starting quarterback. How much credit do you give to McCarthy and helping develop Aaron Rodgers into the elite player that we see today?
Well, I mean, I think you have to give him credit for that. I mean, McCarthy steps into Green Bay, and I played two seasons with Brett Favre there, and that was McCarthy's first 2 years as a head coach, and that's not an easy thing to do. To step in there and you have a legend already solidified at the quarterback position, you have to work that relationship as well as develop a young guy like Aaron Rodgers. And we knew early on how good Aaron was going to be. But I think year after year, he's just gotten better and better. And you have to give McCarthy credit for that. He's been around a lot of great quarterbacks in his time in the league and when he was even an assistant. So I think they definitely worked well together. And I think their whole relationship was definitely overblown with how they're going back and forth with each other. Like, I think it was very much overblown by people. I think sometimes in Green Bay, they just need a change of scenery, and that's why they made the decision to let him go. But I think it's telling that McCarthy has all these other head coaching interviews, and he's one of the top prospects, I guess, when all these new jobs come open.
You know, AJ, how do you see the situation going in Green Bay? I mean, what direction do you think they're going to go in as far as their head coach?
I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out. I don't think there's any – obviously, everyone's saying – well, yeah, you want to bring in the next young hotshot offensive play caller and have him, do what we've seen Nagy do and McVay and Kyle Shanahan out in San Francisco. We've seen what these guys can do to teams. Yeah, that would make sense, but I don't know. Mark Murphy seems like he's the guy making a lot of those decisions there in Green Bay, and I'm sure they're going to bring everybody in and see what fits best, but I don't think it necessarily means you have to have that guy as the head coach. You could bring in a Vic Fangio type defensive guy, and
right,
as long as he hires good coordinators, I mean, you can still get the best of both worlds. So I think a guy like McDaniels is obviously very high on the list for everybody, and we'll see if they have the interest in him, and if McDaniels has the interest in Green Bay. And I can imagine if you're a head coach and you're sitting there and you look at Green Bay with the great organization they have, and they have Aaron Rodgers there who still has many years left of elite quarterback performance, it seems like a no-brainer. Like, that would be one of the top coveted jobs.
Well, what do you make of the relationship between McCarthy and Rodgers? I mean, it could have been as simple as, hey, they were together for so long, you know, eventually maybe two people just get sick of working with each other. But what do you make of the way that relationship went over the last few years, leading eventually to their breakup?
Well, I mean, I think it's whenever you start losing, they have to start picking at something. And I've seen that throughout my time in the league. A lot of times when you're winning games and everything kind of, at least on the outside, goes kind of overlooked, they can try to sweep things under the rug or do whatever. But Aaron definitely covered up for a lot of mistakes that we could make defensively when I was there. I mean, we only won one Super Bowl during my time. And I felt like we definitely had the team to go back there and get a couple more. So we, I think defensively, definitely let him down at times, no question. But I think with between him and McCarthy, yeah, they were together every single day for so long. And they're both the alpha type guys that aren't scared of confrontation, aren't scared of conflict. And I think what you see, at least on the sidelines and stuff, that's overblown. I mean, so many players getting heated conversations and arguments with coaches during games, and then afterwards you're laughing about it and it's funny. And that's just how it goes with the emotions that go through a game. But I think, honestly, their relationship is great, and I think it's going to continue to be great. But McCarthy's a guy that's not going to back down, and either is Aaron. I think that's some of the reason that people have all these things that they want to talk about, that their relationship was sour. I don't think it's that case at all.
Talking to A.J. Hawk, of course, the former outstanding linebacker with the Packers, and, of course, the Ohio State Buckeyes as well. All right, how about these games? Let me stop there. I'm going to, as I'm thinking here, you know, because the Giants may be looking for a quarterback. What's your thoughts? You're an Ohio State guy. What's your thoughts on Dwayne Haskins as far as his future in the NFL?
Hey, why not? If you're the Giants, you got to look hard at Dwayne Haskins. What are they picking now?
Six.
Where are they?
Six.
Six, okay. I don't know if Dwayne's going to be there.
I don't think he will be. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, and he hasn't even officially declared, I guess, now. So I love Dwayne Haskins. Now, obviously, you can say I'm a bit jaded. I'm a bit biased because I actually live in Columbus, Ohio, and I played at Ohio State. But I just think when you watch him play, he seems to be one of those guys that sees the field so well. When the ball comes out of his hand, it looks so good. He kind of has the prototypical NFL quarterback body. He has the big arm, but he's also very smart and seems to make all the reads at a young age, which a lot of guys sometimes have to grow into that. He kind of has that, and I think Ryan Day, obviously the new head coach at Ohio State, has done a great job with him. But I would look at him. I would find a way to try to get Dwayne Haskins on your team. If you are the Giants, I think any NFL team would, and that's why he's talking about he could possibly be the number one overall pick.
You know, let me ask you one thing about Haskins, and I watched a lot of him this year, AJ. The one great passer, you know, no question, very accurate guy. Not a real mobile guy. I mean, you didn't really see him too much. I know later in the year he kind of did a little more running under Urban Meyer there, but not a guy that really extended plays on a consistent basis. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that, and that's the thing. He didn't run. He didn't have to, I guess, a whole lot. And that's not really his game. I mean, his game obviously is drop back, see the field, and let it fly. And he's very accurate. And it just depends, I guess, on what a team wants. Do you want like a Lamar Jackson type guy that's going to extend plays and give the defense fits, or do you want a guy that can stand there in the pocket and stand tall and make a defense pay and hit the open man and hit your checkdowns when you need to? So it all depends, I guess, on what the GM or head coaches of a team wants. But I wouldn't want, especially in the NFL, when you're hoping the guy plays out his rookie deal and he gets a $150, $200 million contract. I don't want that guy running around too much. I want to protect him a little bit.
Right.
So I think when you want your constitution to be your arm and how you see the field, and I think that's what Dwayne has.
Sure. We're talking to A.J. Hawk. It's weird because there hasn't been many top quarterback prospects from Ohio State. You just haven't heard a lot about it. In a weird way, it's almost a reputation Haskins has to get past, that there's this stereotype of, well, yeah, what big-time quarterback is coming from Ohio State?
I mean, you're right. It's true. They haven't had a guy like Dwayne Haskins in a long time. I played with – came in the same recruiting class as Troy Smith, and Troy won the Heisman. And Troy was definitely a very pure pocket passer that can move around, but his game was down the field as well, throwing the ball. But you're right. They haven't had that at Ohio State for whatever reason. I think they've had gritty guys that seem to find a way to get the win. And when I played for Coach Jim Tressel, I mean, that was kind of how our offense was set up. We want to run power. We want to try to pound the ball. And then the quarterback doesn't need to be a game manager, but needs to be a guy that we don't have to rely on him to win every single game. But I think Dwayne's a guy that you can rely on him to really put the ball in the air and win games for you. But that's something that I'm sure will cross the minds of whoever is looking at drafts of him, like, well, look at the track record. There's not a great track record of Ohio State QBs having a ton of success in the NFL as of late.
All right, let's talk a little about the wild card weekend coming up, AJ. Your thoughts overall? You want to game by game? Well, I'll throw the Colt-Houston game at you. What's your thoughts?
Man, I like the Colts. I really do. I know they're traveling to Texas to play this team, but I just – I love how the offensive line is playing for Indy. And Andrew Luck, I mean, if you watch him last week, when he just stands tall in the pocket and seems to make it look easy when he doesn't have a whole lot of pressure on him. Now, with J.J. Watt and that front four, front seven, really, for the Texans, are they going to be able to disrupt him and get some shots on him and force some of those questionable throws that Andrew Luck makes every once in a while? We will see. But, man, I really do like the Colts against the Texans.
It's weird to think that Andrew Luck now has protection. I mean, for all these years, he was taking a beating, and in the second half of the year, no one gets to him anymore. The offensive line's done a great job there.
Yeah, when you have a big, sturdy guy like Andrew, too, he can sit there and survey the pocket, and he doesn't have a lot of pressure up the middle. Like, he just – it's almost like stealing what he can do. So, yeah, it's been good to see Andrew rebound and have a big year like he has, and I look for him to make a deep run in the playoffs.
Mm. The Dallas-Seattle game is fascinating because I think these are two teams in different ways. Earlier this season, a lot of people didn't view as a playoff team. This was supposed to be kind of a reshuffling year in Seattle. The Cowboys did not get off to an awe-inspiring start. It felt like the Amari Cooper trade changed things for that Cowboy offense. Give me your take on those two teams going into the postseason.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun game to watch, no question. That's Saturday night game, I believe, right?
Yep,
so
yep.
Seattle's a scary team. I really think they are. I think their defense, like you said, this is supposed to be like a rebuilding year almost, how they kind of got back to the basics on defense, and they're playing at a high level. And I like Seattle against the Cowboys. And you never really know with the Dallas team what team's going to show up, really. And both these teams kind of have the same offensive mindset. They want to establish the run and be able to consistently do that. And I think Seattle kind of can sneak up on teams and pound the ball out and rush for over 100 yards and establish that, and then let Russell throw the deep ball every once in a while and make some plays over the top. So if Seattle's defense can kind of bottle Zeke up a bit and not let him consistently break 8-10-yard runs, I think Seattle can be successful.
Mm. AJ, how about the games on Sunday? You got that rematch between the Ravens and the Chargers. Of course, they beat them in L.A. I know I keep thinking of San Diego. They should be San Diego. But with that said, how do you see this game between the Chargers and the Ravens?
You know, what's crazy, and I'm not a betting guy, but I know when people always give the edge to the home team. I just seem to be going with these away teams for some reason. But, I mean, with Phil Rivers, I know he's actually played better on the road this year. And maybe it's just because I'm biased towards Phil Rivers and I like him. I like everything he does, the crazy antics and the competitive fire he has. But the Ravens' defense is awesome. I mean, they are true. They can get after teams, running little zone blitzes, and C.J. Mosley in the middle there. I really respect him as a player. I'm not sure exactly how the game is going to go, but I feel like the Chargers and Joey Bosa being in there as well and being healthy, I think they can – find a way to force some mistakes from this Ravens offense. But I like Phil Rivers. I'm just hopeful that Phil can get some of the shine he deserves with what he's done in this league for so long and make a run in the playoffs. But this may be a back and forth game the whole night. And these defenses, I think, are going to step up and make some plays.
All right. Now you mentioned Joey Bosa. So again, I, as being a Jet fan, I got the third overall pick in the draft. And Nick Bosa, okay? And I know that he didn't finish out the season. He had the injury and all of that. How good is this? Is he better than his brother? I mean, how about him as far as his prospects in the NFL?
Man, he might be, and it's scary to think. And I remember when Joey Bosa was hit the scene in Ohio State, people were talking about it in Ohio already, like, wait, he's got a brother that's in high school that is really, really good. That could be even better than Joey. Mm. Now, Nick, he definitely could be. And if you're the Jets at 3, I don't know how you pass him up. You see what these outside rushers on defense could do. They can single-handedly kind of change a game. And not only change a game, even if they're not getting a bunch of sacks, it's just what an offense has to do to game plan against them and slide protection and always be aware of where these guys are. And I think Nick Bosa can be that guy at the next level. You just look what Joey can do and what that team in that defense and for the Chargers has been from when Joey was out early in the year to now. I think he's a big reason why the people are high on the Chargers.
Are you buying the Nick Foles magic part two?
I kind of am. Maybe it's just like a feel-good story, whatever it is. The Bears defense is awesome. I mean, they're amazing. Khalil Mack is just an absolute freak. You saw when his first game with the Bears early, seems like it was a 4 years ago now when they went to Green Bay and they couldn't hold on to the lead, but you saw how the impact Khalil Mack had from from the start of that game, and he's kind of kept that up through this season. But I like what Nick Foles does. I love Zach Ertz, too, as a tight end. I think he and Foles have a good relationship, it seems like, on the field, and he's going to catch some balls and see what he can do in the red zone. But the question, I guess, is what this Eagles defense can do. Can they kind of keep up with the Bears defense and find a way to force Trubisky to make some questionable throws and try to create a couple turnovers? Because you know that the Bears, with what their defense has done, I think they lead the league in takeaways this year. So you would assume that they're going to get at least one or two against this Eagles offense, and can Trubisky capitalize on it in Chicago?
All right, your Super Bowl prediction is what?
Oh, man. I go back and forth on this. Are you guys locked in on your Super Bowl predictions? Have you been?
Here's what I know.
Somewhat.
I'll tell you what I know, AJ. The New England Patriots are going to find a way to get back to the freaking Super Bowl.
I'd say Saints-Patriots. That's me.
That's probably a safe bet. I'm like that with the Patriots as well, even though I know this year has been different for them and Gronk hasn't looked the same. He's probably not that healthy, and Brady has struggled at times. I have a hard time picking against the Patriots. I do. It's like picking against Alabama in college. I don't know how to pick against Alabama.
You don't?
I look at them as the same. It's like the same kind of dynasty teams there. They have some weird aura about them. Like, what do you mean? How do you pick against these guys? And I have a tough time picking against the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm definitely with you. AJ, we appreciate it.
Yep,
congrats
great stuff.
On the success that you've had, and thank you for coming on.
Appreciate it, man.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
AJ Hawk, the former Green Bay Packer, former Buckeye. Now he's on SiriusXM NFL and SiriusXM Fight Nation.
Ringing endorsement, 9 years playing for McCarthy.
Absolutely.
And for the
Giant fans, a ringing endorsement on Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quickly to his point about the Bears have forced 36 takeaways. The next highest number of any playoff team is 30. Mm. I mean, that's what they do on defense. They take the ball from you.
You know what? When you talk about great defenses, man, it starts with taking a ball away.
Well, you know what's interesting about that? I'm sorry, Dove, I got to say this. You know what playoff team by a lot, not by a little, by a lot, have forced the fewest takeaways?
Who's that?
The Ravens.
Yeah, huh? That's interesting.
How about that?
That is amazing.
They don't take the ball. 16.
Wow.
16.
That is amazing.
The Chiefs, who don't have a good
defense,
interesting. 27 takeaways.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So they're a good defense. That's one aspect they have not done successfully.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.